The sermon text for this All Saints Sunday comes from the book of Hebrews, starting in the 12th chapter. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Being November 1st, as you know, this is All Saints' Day, the day after All Hallows' Eve, or Halloween. And because November 1st falls on a Sunday this year, I wanted to dedicate this service of worship to the themes that are common to this day. And one of the most prominent themes, of course, is remembering and honoring our loved ones and friends who have passed away. And that leads to another theme, reflecting upon our own mortality. Except for funeral services and memorial services, most churches, at least Presbyterian ones, don't talk much about death and dying, and even less about the afterlife. But thinking, coping, and dealing with issues that surround death are not morbid. Neither are they something that we should try to avoid, but rather explore and talk about. In fact, when we remember our own mortality, we often better recognize how precious life is. From the life of all creation to the life of others, but also our own life as well. And in the Christian tradition, the Apostle Paul reminds us in the book of Romans, if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And in his first letter to the Thessalonians, he directly addresses the issue of death and grief, seeking to provide words of assurance, comfort, and hope to that congregation, he wrote, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." It was not Paul's intention to restrain the natural sorrow and grief that people of faith feel at the death of a loved one. He indeed recognizes that we rightly grieve and mourn the loss of those who have passed away. And this is exactly how Jesus responded when he heard the news of the death of his good friend Lazarus. And in the shortest verse of the entire Bible, John 11:35, it simply states, "Jesus wept." And so do we. And as people of faith, however, Paul reminds us that our grief is not to be swallowed up in hopelessness. And perhaps the greatest promise of hope to be reminded of at the death of a loved one, or of anyone for that matter, is the belief that death does not have the final word. That there is life beyond life. And though no one knows exactly what that will be like, we believe that it is spent eternally in the loving presence of God. Another scriptural promise that we rightfully hold dear is the belief that nothing in all of creation can ever separate us from the love of God. Not even death. Though there was a large variety of scripture passages I could have chosen as the text for this sermon, I chose the Hebrews 12 passage because of its fairly familiar phrase about being surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And it speaks words of comfort about those who have passed away, as well as to those of us in the here and now who feel surrounded by the love and care of others when we are in need, or are sick, or dying. Now, I often refer to this phrase when visiting people in the hospital. And thanks to the genuine compassion and the authentic care and concern of you here in this congregation, persons confirm that they indeed feel surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses known as College Hill. And that's one reason why I encourage anyone to be connected with a community of faith. And with deep gratitude, I have experienced that great cloud of witnesses in my own life. And though this phrase can be interpreted in a few different ways, we first need to understand it in the context of this particular book of the Bible. And as it turns out, the author of the New Testament book of Hebrews spends all of chapter 11, the previous chapter, recalling the faithfulness of Old Testament biblical characters who have gone before. It's kind of a who's who of Old Testament men and women that are listed. And then, accompanied by a reflection on how their life of faith impacted the Hebrew people. Therefore, in its biblical context, the great cloud of witnesses referred to those ancestors considered to be pillars of the faith. We all know some. But it's more than an exercise of simple remembrance. The author wants us to gain inspiration and strength for our own journey of life and faith by reflecting on the examples of how our predecessors lived their lives. And he uses a metaphor that was very common in that day and time, comparing a life, living a life of faith, to running a race, noting how important it is that we persevere with endurance, just like a runner. And in order to do that, we are called to lay aside anything that is weighing us down, just as a runner would do. So what can you let go of in your life so that you aren't so burdened and weighed down? Throughout the history of the Christian church, the great cloud of witnesses has been expanded to include all the faithful throughout time, including our own family ancestors. And this is what is basically understood when we use the term saints. For those of us who are part of the Protestant wing of Christianity, this includes all persons of faith, not just those persons the Roman Catholic Church has lifted to the official status of canonized sainthood. So the great cloud of witnesses has further been understood as our own family members who have died and gone to heaven, as those who have finished their race and are now sitting in the bleachers or the grandstands, so to speak, watching and cheering us on as we run the race of faith that they once ran. Now, while that is indeed a very inspirational thought for many, that particular interpretation is not actually terribly biblical, because the Bible is silent as to the exact state of the afterlife. And again, as comforting as it is to many, perhaps yourself, there is nothing in the Bible that clearly states that our departed loved ones look down from heaven and watch what we are doing and pray on our behalf. Which leads to the question, what is heaven anyway? Goodness, that's another sermon. Here, one of the Bible passages that I almost always read at a funeral or memorial service is from John 14, where the gospel writer has Jesus declare, "I go and prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you may be also." From that, and from the story of Jesus' resurrection, which many progressives see as metaphorical in nature, not literal, I join with those who believe that death does not have the final word, that there is life beyond this life. And again, though no one knows for sure what that life will be like, we believe that it is spent eternally in the loving presence of God. Yet, you know what? I suppose that even that is conjecture. We have no proof. So as they say, that's what faith simply leads many of us to believe. And there are some people of faith who believe that there is nothing for us as individuals after we die. So perhaps it's best not to make overly definitive theological proclamations about that which we simply do not know. And in an age when so many people are seeking absolute answers, the most honest response is that there is much about God and about the spiritual life that remains a mystery. And I want to mention a couple other things that we derive from Protestant theology concerning the afterlife. One is that when we die, we believe we are immediately united with God. Unlike traditional Roman Catholic teaching, Protestants don't officially believe in purgatory, some kind of holding place before the judgment day. Nor, according to traditional Protestant theology based on Scripture, are there ghosts, as defined as loved ones who are still hanging around nearby in some kind of spiritual state before crossing over to the other side. But many do believe that, and they, and that might include you, have every right to believe that. For just as Jesus' disciples experienced his continuing presence after his death, many of us experience the continuing presence of loved ones after they have passed away. And you know, for this particular experience, it even has pre-Christian roots in what has become All Saints' Day. And to learn more about that, we turn to what many in this congregation have been studying and practicing lately, Celtic spirituality. The Celtic or Gaelic peoples of what is now the British Isles, primarily in Ireland, based much of their life and their spirituality around the solar calendar that celebrated the four seasons. The ancient festival of Samhain, traditionally celebrated from sunset on October 31st to sunset on November 1st, marked the end of the harvest season and the beginning of winter, and it was regarded by most as the Celtic New Year. Now, going back to pre-Christian times, before Christianity even reached the British Isles, the Celtic people believed that it was during this particular moment of the year that the boundary between this world and the other world could more easily be crossed. So offerings of food and drink were often left outside for these visiting spirits. And the souls of the dead were thought to also revisit their homes seeking hospitality. And there are many other customs associated with this festival, including the wearing of costumes or disguises and visiting neighbors. And it wasn't until the year 835 CE that Pope Gregory IV sought to replace, basically usurp, this pagan festival with a church holiday. And that became All Saints' Day on November 1st. And the day before, All Hallows' Eve, later known as Halloween, continued, however, to remain a day filled with myth and superstition surrounding the dead. And as I mentioned with the time with the children, there are other cultures like Mexico's Day of the Dead, the Dia de los Muertos, that have found their ways, own ways, of remembering and honoring their departed loved ones. But you know, in essence, all of this kind of boils down to a strong reminder of our belief in a spiritual life. And that according to Christian teaching, there is a destiny for you, for all of us, where we are assured of a continuing existence of some kind. Ultimately, this leads then to a simple acknowledgement that God's love stretches beyond even death. So on this day, in particular, let us give thanks for our own ancestors and our loved ones who have run and finished the race that is now placed before each of us. And so at this time, I would ask that you please find the litany of remembrance inserted in your bulletin and remain seated. And let us now join our hearts, minds, and spirits together as we reflect upon the life and love of those who have gone before us. We remember the great ancestors of our faith, from Abraham and Sarah to Paul and Phoebe. Ancestors of faith, we remember you.
We remember the prophets and priests, the ministers and teachers who have taught us the ways of God.
Teachers of the faith, we remember you. We remember our grandparents and parents, aunts and uncles, those who have gone before us in our lifetime. Family of our faith, we remember you.
We lift up the memories of children and grandchildren, brothers and sisters, husbands and wives, and parents whose lives ended too soon.
Those close in our hearts, we remember you. We lift up to you, O God, the names of those we have lost in this past year from our congregation, knowing that they are with your heart forever. As we read these names, we will pause after each to remember, pray, and give thanks for their life and love. The Reverend Dr. Chuck Kreiner. And we pause now for a longer moment to silently remember and celebrate the life and love of those who are dear to us, those who hold a special place in our hearts. Join with me. Family of God, we remember you and we honor you. We know you are with us in the spirit of worship, and you will not be forgotten.
We give thanks, O God, for all who have gone on to join with you beyond this life.
We know that in our grief and celebration, O God, you are with us through it all, and we are not left alone. In the name of Christ, in whom love lives forever, we pray. Amen. Amen.